you guys follow baseball, Dominicans play a lot of it. There are a lot of Dominicans who play baseball here in our major league. So we have a couple of guys who have come to the States who have made it big and play in major league or on farm teams. We have a couple of guys who are playing college ball here in the States. That'll pick up my slurping if I don't step back. We have a couple of guys who are playing college ball. So sports ministry is great for kids who want to play ball. They want to be trained well. But the reason we understand it as leadership development is there are a lot of guys who won't make it to the major leagues, who won't play college ball. But in our program, they have baseball practice 3 days a week, but they also have discipleship classes and English classes. So usually what it looks like for a kid who wants to play baseball in the Dominican, in other academies, they've got to pay a pretty good chunk of change to play in the first place. And they probably drop out of school after eighth grade so they can train full time. And as soon as they don't make it to the bigs, then that's it. They have no other plans for their life. They probably become alcoholics, and they don't really contribute to society. And it's this vicious cycle of then, like, they probably have kids, and they have a dream for their kid to play baseball. And we want to break that cycle, and that's why we have kids come in, and when they play sports for us, we want them to know that, like, sports are one thing you can do with your life, but if you go through our academy and you learn English in a country where tourism is the number one industry, if you speak English, you can get a job. And if you've had discipleship classes, hopefully you have a faith that will ground you so that you know baseball isn't the only thing out there. And the same, it's not on the to the same degree with other sports. Baseball is definitely the biggest in the Dominican Republic, but it's similar with basketball. With girls sports for volleyball, and we're starting soccer. Soccer is very new in the Dominican. Basically, really rich Dominicans and really poor Haitians play soccer. So we have a cool opportunity to bridge that gap right now. But especially with girls sports, it gives them an opportunity to be leaders where they wouldn't traditionally in a very machismo culture. It gives them opportunities to hang out with their friends. There's not always a lot to do. It keeps them out of trouble and, you know, gets them into those programs where they can learn English, get discipled, all of those things. Leadership development. Oh, we're building a leadership development complex right now in a town called Tamboril, which is about 20 minutes outside of Santiago, and it will house eventually Go Sports, Go Seminary of the Americas, and Go Kingdom Business, which is which would fall under outreach in that we either take people who already are tradesmen and bring them under our umbrella to provide them with the resources to start businesses. They can sell their goods through our store, either on the island or online. Or if they're interested in learning a trade, we have those opportunities as well. We have a carpenter who will train more carpenters. We have auto mechanics who will train more more mechanics. And our hope is when we can get that all centralized at the leadership development complex, then we can have constant vocational training, like for maybe a kid who's not going to go into Major League Baseball. Maybe he wants to be a welder. We can train him to do that and then send him out into the community to contribute and hopefully be the light of Jesus where he's at. I have to make sure I've covered everything. I haven't. Outreach also covers Go Medical, which is one of my favorite ministries to talk about because it seems I had kind of taken it for granted, I think, that we had the clinic in Santiago. It's this tiny little room that you walk into and people can go and get medical care. But when we have teams come down, medical teams come down and serve, they go out into remote areas. And I had a conversation, actually just before I came back, I had a conversation with our field nurse, Dolores, and she was just talking about how it's not even that these people don't have access to good medical care, because there is decent medical care. There's just literally no way for them to get from where they're at to the medical care. So it's like having, it's like a horse with a carrot in front of them. Like, you know it's out there, you just can't reach it. And I don't, as a North American, I never had that. Like, if we were sick, mom and dad could take us to the doctor. I can't imagine the hopelessness of knowing that my child could get better, but I just don't have access to the medicine. And so having medical teams come down who go out into those communities and offer medical care to those people who would have no access otherwise is incredible. And our clinic is really cool too. For me, it's just where I go to get my parasite pill every 6 months. But for people who live in the community, it's a really big deal, especially in that there's, I mentioned that gap between Dominicans and Haitians. Dominicans do not like Haitians. A lot of Haitians come across the border illegally, and Dominicans consider them job stealers, basically, and they're very much looked down upon. They live in extreme poverty, and in our clinic, we have a Haitian doctor who works with us, and I really truly believe that, like, God set us up with this medical staff to be able to bridge those gaps and bring unity into this neighborhood, because having a Haitian doctor serving with Dominican nurses and seeing them be totally in sync and supporting and loving one another, that's a big deal for Dominican and Haitian patients who come into that clinic, to see that and experience that. There doesn't have to be that divide, that there is, like, a common humanity among us. That's a really good place to start. And the medical clinic, like, everybody gets sick at some point. So that's a good place to hopefully start planting those seeds. And we also try to extend a lot of dignity to people regardless of what they're going through. Whether it's, we had a girl come in, I say girl, she was like, probably early 20s, came in, and she's got a massive infection in her face. And they took her into a separate room to clean it. And she just started crying because she knew it smelled so bad, because her flesh was rotting on her face. And we found a separate facility to be able to wash that for her, so she didn't have to come through our clinic. Like, she could have privacy and that dignity. We also ask our patients to pay. I know there are some people in places who will debate about charity and philanthropy and giving things away, but the reality is, when you offer people the chance to pay for something, it extends dignity to them. They get a sense of purpose. They're contributing to their community by paying for their medical care. And it's 50 pesos to visit the doctor, which is a buck. Like, we're not talking big money here, but it's a big deal to them, and we want to love them in that way. So that's Go Medical. That was probably a little bit like drinking from a fire hose, like all of that information, but those are the facets of the ministry that we're working with. And then all of that is connected to North American Partnerships and Teams, which is the side that I work on. I was telling Gerald earlier that my Spanish is very terrible, even though I've lived in a Spanish-speaking country for over a year, and it's because I work on the North American side of things in an office, 9 to 5. On paper, my life looks very normal, other than waking up to cockroaches, and sometimes there's not electricity. But other than that, I live in an apartment, and I work in an office 9 to 5. And my job is coordinating the teams that are going to come down to work with all of those areas of ministry. So that ministry, that all of those things that I just talked about, those happen all the time, 365, because of local leaders, Dominicans and Haitians, who want to serve in their culture, in their community. But the kingdom is bigger than nations' borders, and so we bring North Americans down to come alongside of them, because it helps the ministry that's happening in the Dominican, and it helps the North Americans to become deeper disciples as well. Last year, we hosted about 80 short-term teams. 40 of them were between May and July. So summer's very busy for us. And it's my job to oversee the coordination of all of those teams who are coming down. They come for a week at a time and serve in various capacities, whether it's doing service projects, kids ministry. If they're a medical team, they'll do a medical clinic in a specific community. Sports ministry will either work at our academy or go out and do like a sports clinic out in a remote area. And I do all of that. I make a lot of spreadsheets. I answer a lot of emails. It's not super exciting, but it creates space for relationships to be built and for ministry to happen. So I'm happy to do it. I actually really like it, so it works out well. I would be a terrible baseball coach, so I let those guys do that, and I make the spreadsheets. I think I've shared everything I wanted to share. I'm sure there are other little things that I've left out. There's so much in GO. We have, 65 local leaders who are working all over the island of Hispaniola, and we have about 20 North American staff. And GO has been very intentional and very faithful, I believe, in setting up their ministry so that something's happening all the time, things are changing all the time and growing all the time. But hopefully that gives you a picture of what I do, what I've been doing. I would love to take questions if you guys have any. That's a lot easier for me than monologuing. So if you have curiosities about anything I just shared or general cross-cultural living, please fire away. I am not sure. I would imagine this is my best guess. I have not seen leprosy in Santiago. Santiago is further east. We're pretty well separated from Haiti. There are Haitians certainly who come to Santiago, but I would imagine if you go to the west of the Dominican Republic, there are a lot of people who come over the mountains, over the border, to work in the Dominican. And so there are lots of things that travel back and forth between countries, and leprosy probably wouldn't be an exception. The woman who came into our clinic specifically, we believe she actually had a tumor in her face that was never taken care of, and it's just, not to be overly graphic, but it's not been taken care of, and that has, then it split open, and then infection got into it, and she's a Haitian woman, so I'm sure she doesn't have access to even clean water to wash her face, which is why she comes to the clinic, and there are no treatment options for her, so we're kind of in a hospice mode for her to just kind of make the last little bit as comfortable as we can. But. Yeah, my office is about a half mile walk from my apartment. So the office is in a house that we rent. We don't actually have like an office in the commercial zone. We rent a house in a neighborhood. It's actually a pretty nice neighborhood. It looks like the suburbs here, except that all of the houses are like cinder block and cement and big pillars and Dominican style construction, but big houses all kind of far apart. So we rent one of those, and my office is in the second story. The whole team's team works out of that office. So our director of logistics, the executive director of teams, there's another lady who works part-time and coordinates teams with me, as well as a bilingual Dominican who comes in to do translations for us and help with, she's kind of our liaison between us and the local leaders. I walk to the office every day. It's reasonably safe. You have to look out for, they tell you to keep an eye out for two guys on a motorcycle. That's like, you want to be especially alert of that, because that can often mean that one guy's driving and one guy's gonna grab your backpack, which I wouldn't want to happen, especially if my laptop is in there. But by and large, the neighborhood's safe. Like, I know all the guys who play dominoes in the park that is between my house and the office, and I've made a point just to make friends with everybody along the way, so they all know me. They all just call me Rubia, which is blondie, but they don't know my name, but I'm one of few blondes in their neighborhood, so I know they know it's me. Okay, excellent. So on a daily basis, over this last year, we actually had one family go home for a leave of absence, and our logistics director, she just had a baby a few weeks ago, so she's been in the States for her whole pregnancy. So when I first got to the Dominican Republic, I worked in the office with 5 other people, and then slowly, like, things have shifted, and over the summer, it was me by myself a lot, which is fine. I just throw on Spotify and, you know, get to work. But, yeah, a lot of times it's me by myself, but that's kind of the hub where, especially for teams information, when we have people on the ground, that's mission control. So people will come in and out to pick up, like, we have devos that all of our teams go through the week that they're there, so people come in to pick up their devos, or they'll stop by if they need to change something on the itinerary for their team. All of that goes through me, because if they change something on their itinerary, it might affect another team that's on the ground. Sometimes we have up to 6 or 7 teams on the ground at once. So, yeah. A lot of times it's just me in the office, but people come in and out. Yes, Ralph.
What's the status of the vehicle that you had wished to obtain?
It's sitting in the church parking lot waiting for me. I have to do all of the paperwork. I was going to do it before I came, but it was going to sit in the church parking lot either way, and this way I don't have to pay the insurance on it till I get back. So it's sitting there hanging out. I'm sure it'll need a new battery by the time I get back, or at least a good jump. But it's sitting in the church parking lot, which is across the street from my apartment building. So I will, even once all of the paperwork's done, I'll keep parking it there at night and things, because they have a gate that locks, whereas my apartment building, there's a gate, but parking space is not awesome, and the gate doesn't lock, so it'll be more secure at the church. But yeah, I'm super excited to have a vehicle. It gets dark, because we're close to the equator, it gets dark like around 6:30, 7 o'clock year round, and it's not safe to walk anywhere by myself after dark, so having a vehicle will be a huge blessing. I haven't transferred the money. It's a ministry vehicle, so I just have to pay the money to go. So, but
have you paid that?
No.
I mean, you have that.
I have the money. Yep, I've got the money. I just haven't made the transfer and done all of the cross T's and dotted I's, but. Well, I won't have to walk to work in the rain anymore. That's going to be awesome. But also, I'm really excited from a hospitality standpoint to invite my other single girlfriends over. And we do a lot of brunches or afternoon dates, because I don't have any way to drive them home if it gets dark. Dominican dinner time is like 8 o'clock. So we don't do dinner together. So it gets dark pretty quickly after I get home from work every evening. So this way I have more options of either going to visit people or having people over than I can offer them rides. Because a lot of my North American friends have vehicles. My Dominican friends do not. So that will be a ministry to them as well. Yeah. We had 2 hurricanes in 2 weeks this fall, which is kind of crazy. Irma, they talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they thought it was just going to devastate the whole island, and then she actually swung further northeast and hit obviously other islands in the Caribbean, but the Dominican was largely spared. And then Maria, it seemed like I didn't even hear about Maria until I think the day before she hit the Dominican. And ironically, everybody was worried about Irma, and Maria was actually worse for us because, so neither one were anything like the devastation that Puerto Rico or Turks and Caicos or the rest of the Caribbean experienced. Let me start there. And especially for me, living in Santiago, we have mountains all around us. I kind of live in a bowl. So we're very largely protected from a lot of the wind and rain. We kind of get like a rain shower. When Maria came through, she moved really, really slow and it rained a really long time. We had flooding in a lot of our low-lying areas. And like even at my house where I live up on a hill, so my apartment didn't flood from water coming up, but it rained so long that the rain came through my walls. The pañeta on the outside of my apartment building was worn out, and so the rain just, I just watched it come through my walls. And then there was water in my kitchen. So the night Maria came through, I had to mop my floor a lot to keep the water up. But that's nothing compared to, like, Los Guandules is a community about 20 minutes away from where I live. And we went the day after Maria came through. It's on a, Los Guandules is on a river. And there were about 5 homes that got washed away. And the road, where it used to sit level, when you walk up the hill into the neighborhood, the road used to sit level, and you could see on the side that the river is, the whole hill had just dropped about 18 inches. The road was just split. So all of those houses are going to go eventually. Maria took 5 homes. GO was able to provide funding to all of our local leaders who are in those low-lying areas so that they could buy food for people who needed to use the church as shelters. They do extra meals in the nutrition centers where we usually just serve the kids in the neighborhood. During hurricanes, we serve anyone who needs meals. The church is also, they serve as shelters for people who need somewhere to sleep, and they serve as storage for, like in Los Guandules, they opened the church as soon as it started raining, and the people along the river's edge started just bringing whatever they could out of their house, so they don't have to start completely over. GO did not lose anything. Like, we didn't lose buildings or, praise Jesus, no casualties or anything like that. But we did have some people who were largely impacted, who lost a lot of what they had. If there are no more questions, I'll hand it back over, I think, to Steve and Josh. There will be prayer cards. I'll be hanging out in the back. If you guys have questions you didn't want to ask out loud, I'll be back there for a while. I would love to chat with you. And there's a stack of these guys back there if you want a prayer card to stick on your fridge or bathroom mirror or whatever. It's got a little information about me and the ministry. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.